I'm excited to be here. And if you haven't been here, we are currently going through a series in Matthew tonight. And we've been going basically since we started Valley Church over a year ago. And maybe in a few more years we'll be done. And that'll be a day to celebrate and we'll have a party. That sounds good. I'm calling it right now. When we're done with the book of Matthew, we're having a party. Yeah. Sound good? Yeah? Okay, let's do that. All right. Anyway, the book of Matthew as a whole, but this section in particular that we're talking about today begs us to ask the question, who is Jesus? What kind of man is Jesus? So even though, as we've learned so far, the disciples have seen Jesus do healings and taught a bunch, they still have their minds blown in this section. So like I said, we're basically not even all the way through chapter 8 yet, and Jesus has healed three notable people. It only talks about three healings in particular, but then it just says he healed people in general. He cast out some demons, by the way, just did some stuff like that. And then he said, the cost of my discipleship is high. It takes a lot to follow me. And Maddie gave that message last week, and she killed it. It was amazing, and definitely something to think about and pray about, and just allow the Lord to work constantly on you as you think about, what does it cost to follow you, Jesus? And I feel like that was kind of a mic drop moment, and Jesus kind of got stopped right as he was getting in the boat to go across the Sea of Galilee. But then all of a sudden, it's just like, time to go. And he just says, following me is hard, it costs a lot, but let's go. And he jumps in this boat with his disciples. And that's where we're going to be today, on a boat. Let's pray, and we'll dive into some scripture. Sound good? All right. Father, we're just thankful that we're able to be here. Lord, we're thankful for friends, family, God, just the ability to meet together, even though COVID makes it difficult, Lord, but being together is so important. God, being with your people, being encouraged by your word, and we just pray that tonight you would speak to us. God, that our hearts would be receptive, and Lord, that you would, I guess, calm the storms. That's what we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to be in Matthew 8, 23 through 27 today, and I will just start reading. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there, but we'll also have it up on the screen. So it says, starting in 23, then he, being Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So here we have it. Jesus got in the boat with his disciples, and then they're cruising along, and the wind and the waves start picking up. The storm that they did not see just happens on them. So I got a picture of the Sea of Galilee here. There it is, a nice overhead view of the Sea of Galilee. It's about 8 miles wide and 13 miles long, about 140 feet deep at its deepest point, and that depends on the time of year. But it's not like the hugest body of water in the world, but it's also not a small body of water. So they were also in probably a boat, I don't know, 25 to 30 feet in length. And it looks a little bit something like this picture in our office, I'm pretty sure. For those of you that wonder what I think about every day, I think about the Sea of Galilee all the time. And then I go pick up my stuff off the printer. But that's probably close to what the boat looked like, I'm assuming. But it was just a wooden boat. All the disciples were able to fit on it. And the storm happens. And like, even if that's even remotely close, any sort of storm on any sort of body of water is kind of terrifying. So these guys were on this boat, waves pick up, and they're starting to freak out a little bit. 24, it says, that furious storm with the waves swept over the boat, and Jesus was sleeping. Because who doesn't want a nap in the middle of a storm, right? But like I was just reminding you guys from earlier, Jesus had just gotten done teaching the Sermon on the Mount, healing people. I'm an extrovert, and that sounds exhausting to me. So I can't imagine what sort of emotional toll, physical toll that had on his body, but he was probably exhausted from doing so much stuff. And he took a nap, like you do when you're tired. And I will say that it's kind of weird that he is asleep on the boat. If you're thinking, that's weird, I agree with you. That is so weird. But I think one of the things that I think the Lord wants to point out to us is that disciples freaking out on a boat, Jesus calm, asleep. This dichotomy of two different things here going on. The disciples who should have it all together, being fishermen, knowing the sea, all that stuff, they should not be freaking out maybe as much as they are, but they are, because they know how deep the waves or how big the waves are and how desperate they are in this situation. But Jesus, still sleeping, still calm. But in 25, the disciples went to him and woke him up saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. So they wake Jesus up, and they're genuinely scared. The language here talks more like the drowning is already started. Like, as they're talking to Jesus, they're in the midst of dying. That's kind of the peril that they're trying to tell Jesus is going on. Jesus, wake up, help us. We are literally dying right now. And Jesus takes this moment to go, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? He takes this moment to talk about faith in the middle of a storm. While everyone else is freaking out about dying, he says, let's talk about faith for just a moment here. Because it might seem, especially on the surface here, that Jesus might be a little harsh. It's like, whoa, Jesus, there's a storm going on. It's kind of obvious and maybe even expected that these guys would be freaking out. But he says, I think your fear has something to do with your faith in me. Jesus wants to tell his disciples a little bit about fear, faith, and trust. And to kind of describe that a little bit, I want to tell you a short little quick story here. She just left. My wife, there's a baby. Anyway, before we had our baby, Cedar Rose, who's absolutely adorable, wave at her if you have a chance. She's super cute. But before we had the baby, we went for a walk in Minto Brown. And super cool place. If you've never been there, walk around and stuff like that. We were looking at all the birds and stuff like that. It was fantastic. But it was in the summer, so a lot of the creeks and some of the usually like wetland areas were kind of dried up, or so it seemed like it should have been. Because underneath what looked like a dry creek bed, there's actually tons of sloppy mud and stuff like that. And the reason I know this is not because I went in, but because we went around this corner and there's this family, their bikes like strewn across the path, like they just got tired and like, oh, bikes, and they threw them down and got down and sat by this creek bed. And their, what I would assume, like 5-6-year-old son had tried to run across this dried creek bed. But little did he know that it was muddy, and he sunk probably, I don't know, up to his knees in mud. And he was sitting there going, ah, help me, help me. Do you want me to die? He's speaking to his parents when he's saying this. He's like, do you want me to die? And his parents are like, probably like 2 feet away going like, you're not gonna die. You're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. Don't worry about it. But he's like, help, why aren't you doing anything? And they're like trying to like get the older brother to come help him out of the mud and stuff like that. But he was freaking out, not listening to his parents, what they had to say about how safe he actually was. Instead, he was letting this fear take over. And it, okay, this is mean, but it was hilarious. And I was trying not to laugh as I walked by. I was like, oh, they got it. But wow, I'm trying not to look at it as we're strolling by. And this is kind of what I feel like the disciples are doing right now. They're kind of like that little kid stuck in the mud. They feel like they're in danger. And yes, they are in physical danger, but I feel like they forgot who they were with. They forgot that they were with Jesus. They forgot that this is the guy that just taught with authority. This is the guy that just healed all these people. This is the guy that they said, I'm going to drop everything and follow you. That little kid was like freaking out. And inside, all the disciples are feeling pretty much the same emotions. But Jesus is obviously fully in control. And I don't know what his attitude was like, but we can see that he rebukes. So a rebuke, like a stern, like, hey, stop it. Basically commands the waves, the wind, the rain, the storm to just stop. And as we look at this story here, it seems like it's not just like a slow, the storm just tapers off and it gets gentle all of a sudden, but it's actually more like immediate. Jesus says, stop, and the waves just immediately calm. And I believe that's why the men in verse 27 is like, they're like, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. The NIV says the disciples were amazed. I like other translations of like that say awe, because if I saw something like this and I'm imagining the disciples just jaw dropping, just going like, ah, kind of freaking out in their minds, like we knew we were following someone who had authority and power, but we did not know he had the authority over nature. I mean, we can't even forecast the weather properly still. And Jesus is able to say, "You, what do you want?" Boom, there it is. I got it. It gives a picture to not just Jesus and his personhood on the earth is more than anyone could have imagined. So as I read through the story, and it's one that I've read before and you've heard before, and there's like hundreds, maybe even thousands of depictions of this scene here, of Jesus standing on the tip of a boat and saying like, peace be still, and the waves are going crazy. But the question I want us to ask ourselves tonight is, what kind of man is Jesus? Because the disciples were a little bit confused. And maybe we are tonight as well. Michael J. Wilkins, a Bible commentator, says about Jesus. Oh, I just heard my kids crying. Oh, no. Michael J. Wilkins says he deserves our awe and reverence, but he demands that we follow him wherever he calls, regardless of the cost and of the threat to our status quo. Jesus has authority. Who is Jesus? He has authority. He can control the elements, and not just because he can control the elements, but because of who he is, who he says he, what he will do. He should be trusted, and he should have our faith. And ultimately, I think Jesus wants his disciples to have an unwavering faith in him. But the thing is, fear gets in the way. And the thing is, we all have fear. I think the Michael J. Wilkins, when he says the status quo for most of us is fear on some level or another. And especially in this season of life that we're in right now, fear is not just something that we've heard of. It's something that we're probably living with day to day. And fear gets in the way of this unwavering faith. I think, let's just talk about fear for a little bit here. Fear is not just getting scared. Something you should know about Greta. Greta gets scared. Probably this is Don't try to go scare her now. That's just mean. But if you, oh, got her. Okay. That was too perfect. I can't believe this. Oh, man. I'm glad I have this camera up here that kind of goes out. But man, that's so good. Like I was saying, Greta freaks out all the time. That's not what we're talking about here. I think getting scared, jump scared, especially like that, that's just a reaction. That's, her faith is fine. Maybe not in Kenny anymore, but the fear we're talking about here makes us do things that we don't normally do. The type of fear that we're looking at here paralyzes us. The type of fear that we're talking about here makes us focus on things that we don't normally focus on. Fear can unhinge us in some really unhealthy ways. And for the disciples, fishing and navigating this smallish body of water was something they knew very well. And this storm unhinged them. Fear was taking over. Death was a real thought, and they were acting out of fear, focusing on that fear. So the question that we have for ourselves now is, what are the things that we fear? What are the things in our life that we are most scared of happening? What are the stormy seas in our lives? And again, we all have something. Maybe for some of you today, it's not knowing what the future looks like. You're thinking about what's going to happen after this year, and you're like, I honestly have no clue. Maybe it's a diagnosis. You don't know exactly what this is going to be or what this is going to entail. But the thought of a bad diagnosis, man, that changes everything. Maybe rejection. Maybe you're thinking about asking someone out, or maybe you have a really rocky relationship with a daughter or a brother, sister, any sort of relationship like that, and you are scared to death of being rejected. Maybe losing something. I know we say, don't worry about the material stuff in your life, but sometimes it's scary when you think about cars and houses, and especially the wildfires that happen. It's scary to think about some of the possessions that we have. Maybe they're not even worth a ton of money, but there's sentimental value in a photo album. And we are scared to death of losing stuff like that. Maybe just the fact that you don't have control over a situation. And we, in this situation right here, that is COVID, that is the election, that is so many other things, we do not have control. And that is so, so scary sometimes. Maybe it's just death. You don't know what the death of a loved one will bring. You don't know what your death will bring. There are so many uncertainties with death. Or maybe it's just being uncomfortable, being hated, not living up to the expectations that you have of yourself or the expectations someone else has of you. Maybe it's your kids. I don't know. I worry about my kids all the time. There are so many other things I could probably list off. But fear, I don't believe, is supposed to rule our lives. At some point, following Jesus means that we'll probably be confronted with the very thing that scares us the most, the very thing that we are the most fearful of or of happening. That's probably going to show up, and we'll be confronted with this as we follow Jesus. And that in itself is scary. But I think when we go before Jesus and he says, your faith is small, you don't have to be afraid. I don't think that should be something that sounds scary. I think that should be something that we should actually kind of look forward to in a way. Because when I look in the Word and look at how Jesus treats the people that follow him, I see a lot of love in this statement. So a couple years ago, my mom got the diagnosis of cancer. Super scary. I don't know very many people who haven't been affected by cancer in one way or another. And man, just thinking about what's life going to be like. We had just had Maggie, our second, and just thinking like, how many more birthdays is my mom going to send presents for? Like, if we have more kids, which we definitely do now, like, what's that going to be like? Like, not getting a call or having my mom come visit just scared me to death. I was so, like, I couldn't even think about it. I didn't want to think about it. But I was able to go to the Lord with that and say, like, God, this is what I am feeling. And I would love to say that this happened the very next day after, but this has been a process for me. I feel like I've very recently even been able to fully say, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm most scared of. And I feel like the Lord has said, you have little faith. You have, what are you afraid of? And in that, I have learned that his presence is enough. Now, that's not the moral of this section of the scripture, but that is what the Lord spoke to me when I was able to go to him in the middle of this storm of emotions and fear that were happening in my heart, in my life, in my mind, that was largely hidden for a long time. But the Lord spoke to me and said, man, I'm enough. And sometimes, like, that's a scary thing, saying, Lord, you are enough. Are you enough? You are enough. The Lord truly is enough. So that sounds so frightening and so overwhelming for some of us tonight. But I think the Lord has that to say to you. You have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Because now I feel like the Lord, now that he's brought me through this situation, I'm a little less afraid. I'm not completely like brave and like ready to go forward all the time, but man, I'm a little less afraid. And that is a huge miracle in my own heart and life. And I don't want to discount anything that the Lord has potentially there for you tonight also. Man, the Lord has so much for us, and maybe you just need that, to have that courage to be able to say, man, Lord, this is what I have. This is why I'm fearful, and surrender that to him. And maybe he will speak to you. Because I think when we look at that, you have little faith, why are you so afraid? It is kind of like a sister to this verse, which is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What kind of man is Jesus? I think he's the type of person that shows up in huge ways to the people that desperately need him. And I am saying, as a person who has desperately needed the Lord in the past and still desperately needs the Lord, that it is hard to like force that and make that happen, but that is where we need to be, in complete desperation for the Lord to save us. So as the band comes up, I just want you guys to think about that, to allow that to soak into like all your thoughts, into your heart, as we sing these songs and as we go from here, because I believe that the Lord wants us to genuinely have an unwavering faith. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing some songs and allow the Lord to speak to us. Father, we just thank you that you are there with us. Sometimes crazy things in life happen. Sometimes we think we got it all together, but we really don't. And sometimes, Lord, we're just fearful of this or that. God, the things in life that happen sometimes seem so overwhelming. But God, you are greater than the storm. You are greater than the situations in our life. God, you care desperately for us. You want us to be in a, not just a good relationship, God. You want the best for us. You want the best relationship for us. And Lord, I just pray that tonight, as we allow your word to speak to us, God, that you would allow our hearts to be shaped and molded, and so that we can become more and more like your son, Jesus. We love you, and we just give our hearts to you tonight. In your name, amen.